Hello, it is October 13th, 2014. You are looking live in Athens, Georgia. This is episode 450 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. Like most of North America, I have a cold, a head cold that's just, I'm just about done with. But forgive my, I know ordinarily you've come quite accustomed to the sonorous, almost preternaturally soothing tone of my voice. We're going to be a little gruffer today. Also, you may occasionally hear an infant screaming in the background. This is why I usually do the podcast after the kids are in bed. Today is not one of those days. So forgive the infant screaming in the background. I'm just sticking him with sharp things. Anyway, it is Monday afternoon as we actually tape this. So like a lot of you, I was up late watching my St. Louis Cardinals somehow stave off what could have been one of many disasters for the evening by beating the San Francisco Giants in the National League Championship Series into a Game 3 on Tuesday. Of course, Yadier Molina is out for at least this series, and I don't know, I think most people are kind of assuming next, if there is a next. But that doesn't matter because it's tied and it's fun, and this postseason has been insane. We haven't even gotten to the Royals and Orioles, which is just lunacy. I will be at the World Series, no matter where it is. I apologize for no show last week, by the way. There was a lot of madness. I was at the NLDS in St. Louis, which was quite fun. I'm not going to lie to you. Baseball's just generally fun, but that was unusually fun. But we had no show last week, but we're doing it this week. And we'll be back on a weekly basis after this one. But I will be at the World Series no matter where it is. So I think it'll be fun. Hopefully you'll travel with me. Anyway, we are going to take a look at where the 2A League Championship Series are now with today's guest, Anthony Kestrovitz. He is a columnist for Major League Baseball. He's reporting on Major League Baseball, for MLB.com. He has been reporting on baseball for MLB.com since 2004 when I was working, I believe, at Registered Rep Magazine, poorly covering the financial services industry. I did not see the credit default swap scandal coming, and for that I apologize. I was a very poor financial reporter. But I'm talking to someone who is a much better baseball reporter than I ever was a financial reporter, or for that matter, a baseball reporter. It's Mr. Kestrovitz coming to you live from Kansas City. All right, first off, Anthony, thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to do this. You're in Kansas City now, correct?
I am in Kansas City, me in the rain.
Yeah. Is it going to rain? This podcast will be up before the game starts. Are they going to get it in tonight?
I do not think so. It's absolutely boring here.
Oh, man, that's disappointing. That's the
it
worst.
It is disappointing.
That's the worst. Oh, God, now I don't even want to do the podcast. This is so depressing.
I'm trying not to depress you. Well, I'm just trying to tell it like it is, man.
Okay. Well, I want to talk. We're obviously talking about the ALCS. You've been covering all of those games. Looking at, I find the Royals. You know, it's weird. The Royals have yet to lose in the postseason, and right. I still find myself checking their Pythag to see if they've actually scored more runs than their opponents. they're a very weird kind of team. What are you seeing from them? Not just in this series, from before. It feels like, you know, this weird combination of entirely unlikely they'd be doing this, but also kind of built for the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I keep coming back to that thought as well. I don't even know what that means anymore, because it seems like every year, it's a different sort of club that goes deep, and we kind of redefine what it means to be built for the postseason. But in the traditional sense, they really are, and it's easier to appreciate that in retrospect than going into October. But an 89-win team from the season, a team that, aside from August, you know, they had that really hot August that came basically out of nowhere. And, other than that, it was just kind of a plodding team, a team you're kind of waiting for all these young guys in the lineup to gel and to mesh and to reach their peaks, and just wasn't happening. So, this is now that this unstoppable October 4th, it's so strange. I think it really just illustrates just how weird this month is and how it is really a different season than the regular season. Baseball is kind of strange the way it's set up that way. And the October, quote unquote tournament is just a whole different animal. So, it's interesting to see a wild card club, catch heat like this. And, with a pitching staff that, doesn't truly inspire you from the starting standpoint, obviously they got a deep and strong bullpen. It's gotten only deeper with Finnegan, the rookie kid, but and a lineup that didn't hit for a lot of power during the season, but hit for a ton of power here in October. Just very strange to see it all come together at the right time for them. But God bless them.
Yeah, it's funny too because if you would have just beam us directly from like 6 years ago when everyone was doing the Kansas City has the best farm system in baseball and they've got all these guys coming, if you're gonna beam them directly to say game one or two of this series or maybe late in the Angel series, you'd be like, oh, this is just what we always thought was gonna happen. Moustakas is gonna hit a lot of homers and Hosmer's gonna hit a lot of homers and they're gonna have and Billy Butler will be a line drive guy. And it's funny that like all this young talent that's really been disappointing to them for the last 3 or 4 years, all of a sudden the postseason has completely come alive. They sent Moustakas down like three times. Like it's really kind of crazy. Is there a sense among them that like, do they feel like, okay, we're finally coming around, or is it just it's just the madness of October?
Yeah, I think it's somewhat just the madness of October, but I also think, this is a group that, you mentioned guys like Moustakas and Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain. I mean, these guys played together in the minor leagues, came up together, had success together in the minor leagues. I think they're kind of feeding off that a little bit. And, Hosmer and Moustakas are the big keys for me. It's just as recently as a couple weeks ago, you could count those guys, among the bus from a prospect standpoint. They really weren't guiding or leading the lineup the way you'd expect. I mean, Hosmer had an OPS around 700 this year. Moustakas was like a low 600 OPS, if I remember right. And, all of a sudden these guys are October heroes. So I think there's just a confidence. I really think it helped them to be in that division fight with the Tigers down the stretch too, where every pitch there's so much magnitude on every pitch, and they had like Raul Banez in their dugout. I think he was a big help for this team down the stretch to keep these guys calm and to stick to their strengths, so to speak. And now you're just seeing a confidence that's kind of just steamrolled here and built up. So. It's been a lot of fun to watch these guys. There's just an energy to this team that, and it's not just the speed, which the Evans have, and it's not just the flashy defense, which they have. There's just that, just the way they celebrate, the way they support each other, pointing to each other after big moments. And you see that with a lot of teams, but there's just a certain spunk or spark with this club. And, I mean, if you're facing them, they got to be an absolute pain in the ass to face right now.
Well, it's funny because, just again, the way the postseason works, 3 or 4 days ago, I was like, man, Baltimore just looks like a juggernaut. They could just wipe through everybody right now. You were there for the two games in Baltimore. And certainly by the end of that second game, each of those games, at several points, it looked like Baltimore was going to be able to win that game. They had several chances. Was that place just destroyed by the end of those two games and there's a sense that, almost they'll be lucky to get it back to Baltimore? What was the vibe like there?
Yeah, it was not a good vibe after the fact. A lot of as electric as it was going into game one. That's how much of a funk it encompassed things after game two. But and you see that it's one thing to get blown out. I think it almost hurts more to be so close in both games and just have the other team just execute so well and really punch in the face a little bit. So that was tough. I still like that Orioles team. I still like its ability to be resilient here in this series. But yeah, I mean, you get your guts ripped out, both of those two games at home, that hurts.
Yeah, and it's strange too, because the Orioles, I feel like, again, we talk about resilience and all that sort of stuff, and you realize we're talking about two or three or four baseball games. Like, we're just kind of attaching stuff after the fact. But one of the things I really love about the Orioles, and I was kind of inspired about them going into the postseason, is... like they've got all this talent, but there's no Machado, there's no Wieters. Like it feels like those are like the two big guys coming in. And not only have they had success, but they waltzed away with the division. Now, part of that, of course, is the division's fault. But it still feels like it's hard for me to see, as inspiring as this Royals thing is and how crazy as it is. And again, to note, they've now won 9 consecutive postseason games. And for the 9-year-old Will Leach vividly remembers the first 3. So so I those count. as much as the Royals are running, it's still hard for me to see this Orioles team with all they've kind of gone through, and particularly with the job that Showalter's done, just not getting it, not at least making a fight out of it.
Yeah, and I always like Buck's ability to man the switches, so to speak, in the late innings. I mean, you've seen him doing matchups, yanking his starters out in the fifth inning and starting at that early. Maybe some people would read that as panic. I don't know, but and they definitely need to get more length out of their starters, more quality length. They just haven't had that in this postseason, really, aside from Bud Norris's one start in Detroit in Game 3 of the Division Series. They haven't had a starter reach the sixth inning other than that one start. So I think that's a big key for them. You mentioned that the guy's absent in the lineup, and they've persevered through that, but they're going to have to persevere through this 0-2 hole, too. But I still think there's upside in the lineup. We haven't seen much from Adam Jones aside from that one meatball Yordano Ventura served up to him in game two that you'd hope he hit that one out. That was right down the middle. Jones has not really stepped up on the postseason stage. I think there's obviously still more in his bat. So, we'll see. We'll see how they recover. But, it's hard not to get. You talk about storylines. It's hard not to get swept up in the Royals storyline right now. Just they're playing with so much confidence, and you see that especially in the late innings. It's all about execution in the late innings, and they've done that as well as anybody, better than anybody.
It's always a weird thing when you compare because the postseason, not only is the postseason different than the regular season, it is dramatically different to where it's barely even the same thing in a lot of ways. And
Right.
I think for it's very strange for I watch baseball every day throughout the year. You watch baseball every day throughout the year. It's something you get very invested in. And then all of a sudden October comes and all these people that weren't paying attention are suddenly paying attention and everything is happening so crazy and like 10 games are happening at once and. It was funny. Zachary Levine was on the Baseball Prospectus podcast the other day, and he was talking about how he's kind of sick of the postseason. And I and and I and I, to me that's crazy because this postseason has been so fun and so great. But at his point, while I disagree with it, what I understand what he's trying to say, which is that idea that like once you're invested in baseball, once you give yourself up to baseball and follow it throughout the year, that you get in the postseason, everything is so small and so crazy, and Ned Yost's team is could beat Buck Showalter's team, and all these kind of and the Royals can do it playing this weird way, and an exciting team like the Nationals or exciting team like the Dodgers can go down to a team like the Giants or the Cardinals that people don't like, and it's weird. I'm curious, just as a baseball observer, obviously the postseason is so fun, but. It does it matter that it's not representative? Does it bother you that it's not representative that this kind of madness that can happening or not?
I don't know. I think I'm less of a purist than a lot of people who like baseball, and I understand the purity, and there's certain things that are sacred to me as well. And I appreciate the length of the regular season, and I get the complaints because the regular season has been rendered moot in a lot of cases, just the way the way October is set up. But I also understand the business perspective as well. I mean, this is better for baseball in the long run to have a month that is this wacky and crazy and has this many teams involved. And it's interesting to me to see two wild card clubs potentially ascending the World Series here. Despite the disadvantage they go into October with now, I think that further illustrates how crazy and unpredictable this month is. But it's a strange time. I think it's a time of year where you have to kind of let go of things a little bit and just appreciate it for what it is, and acknowledge that the regular season does a great job of sorting out the best depth, the best run organizations in a lot of senses, and then you get to October, it's just throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, it's madness.
Yeah.
But see, I feel like it's always been like this in postseason series. It's just we, in the past, of course, there'd just be two teams that make it,
Right.
and then there'd be four. And I feel like the reason that we have this idea that there's supposed to be some sort of established order is actually the Yankees, or more specifically, Mariano Rivera. Like, if you take away Mariano Rivera, it feels like a lot of this. It would be more organized. Like the Yankees gave us this illusion that, oh, well, this postseason, there is this fire and so on. But maybe the Giants and the Cardinals are doing that as well. Like on one hand, we look at how random and crazy it is. On the other hand, you see teams like the Cardinals, you see teams like the Giants who are consistently there every year and seem to find a way to win it. It's a hard thing to reconcile. And you, like me, are a producer of narratives and producer of stories. Is that a hard thing to reconcile as well? Like, what do you think it is about, if it's anything about about teams like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, to your point about order, I think people might complain either way. There was a time in baseball where the Yankees, were the standard, and I'm sure they'll, work hard to get back to that point. But They certainly set a standard in terms of payroll and whatnot, but you see what happened to them the last couple of years, and they've only won one World Series in the last what is it now since what was their last World Series before 2009? Now I'm blanking.
It was 2000.
2000,
Yeah,
right? So
yeah.
you go back 14 years, they have one World Series. If we went to back to a time where the Yankees were, constantly in the World Series, people would complain about that.
Right, right, right.
And maybe if the format was such that the regular season, you went straight from a regular season to a World Series, for instance, like we had, way back when, people would definitely have a problem with that, because then you get back to a stage, I think, where payroll really influences the championships more than it does now. So I kind of like the craziness from that standpoint. I love that this Kansas City team is on the doorstep of a World Series with a mid-range kind of payroll and largely built from within, or even the pieces they added were in trades from guys that they had built from within with Greinke and Will Myers. So I really like that. I don't think you get that if you're in a position where 162 is the be all and end all, and it determines, who goes straight to the World Series or that sort of thing. So I kind of like the madness of it, I guess, the way it's set up now.
Yeah, I think I wonder if part of it too is, and I've noticed this, and I'm kind of a sabermetric dork myself, but I wonder if some of it too is, so we always put so much emphasis on process rather than results. That's really what the basis, really, people get caught up in stats. Really, the base of it all is valuing process over results. And of course, the problem I think people have, it's not so much that Kansas City with a smallish payroll and you can have this unlikely story. It's not so much that, it's much as, wow, they did like a ton of things wrong, and they're being rewarded in a lot of ways.
Sure.
But for me, and I do understand that. But it's funny. I figure I'll worry about that in like December. Like right now, like this is because you've been covering postseasons for a long time, and there's you're I think it's a good sign that we're not even halfway through the league championship series, and there's already people are already debating, wow, is this the best postseason we've had in like a really long time?
Right.
You've covered these for a while. Have you seen this kind of insanity? And not only not, it's funny because the series were like most three of the four division series were sweeps, and and Kansas City's already up 2-0, but just the intensity of these games and one run and back and forth all the way through, I don't remember a postseason like this.
I don't either, and it's been a big postseason for bullpen management, and that's just kind of been the big storyline for me is how teams utilize their bullpens. I think that kind of speaks to, I mean, you talk about process and stuff, and that's how that's kind of the way the game has trended. You saw this season just the depth of bullpens across the board, the number of mid-90s guys teams were trotting out in the sixth, seventh innings in some cases, and so I think this postseason has illustrated how important the bullpen has become. Not that it wasn't important before, but I think it's now it's become such an integral part of your staff. Where and Buck Showalter made the point the other day that length in this day and age from your starter is getting to the sixth inning, which is hard for, again, for maybe purists to wrap their mind around, but it's kind of where we're at. And so I've enjoyed that element a lot, and the critique of a guy like Matt Williams, for instance, and not. Not showing the sense of urgency maybe you'd like in a must win. And I think this postseason, more than anything, has just illustrated how much each game is a must win. And you're not seeing many of those dominant outings from starters. We always had this, starting staff mentality in teams building up their rotations. I mean, look at the Tigers and A's, what they did this summer to build up their rotations, and we're oohing and aahing and talking about them as though that's going to be a dominant October rotation. And both those teams are gone by the end of the first week of October. We haven't had aside from Madison Bumgarner, I don't know if we've had like one ace, another ace of the postseason. It's been really about the late innings, about the bullpens, and extra innings in a lot of cases. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is an awesome point. They really do look kind of silly now. That like
Well, they
to
always do that.
yeah, I mean, I get it. I get what they were doing. I get why you would trade off the future to because you stack up on those stars. But you're right. Other than Bumgarner, there just hasn't been Like, oh, well, there's your obvious winner. Kershaw loses twice. Wainwright appears to be hurt or whatever's going on with him. Like, you're seeing, like, Baltimore, Kansas City have no starters like that. Even Shields, everyone pretends that he's won, though he's not actually won, just because his name rhymes with game.
Right.
And so, you know, you're right. It's so much of it. It feels like every one of these series, it's really about the sixth and seventh inning, and they've all come down to the sixth and seventh inning. And I wonder if that'll be a lesson that will be learned or maybe even overlearned in the next couple of years. But that's the strange thing about it too, is it also feels like a lot of bullpens are magic. Like they seem to come, it's hard to predict sometimes at the beginning of the season what bullpen's going to work and what is it. You know, I if you look at like the Tigers bullpen the last few years, like it's been a consistent problem for them for 3 or 4 years, but it's not like all the moves they made were stupid when they made them. Like bringing in Soria was great,
right?
And, until he came in this year, like, which I think, I wonder if that adds into the aspect of luck of it too. It's like you don't know, like you feel like you don't really know if you have a good bullpen until it just happens.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at the Royals. I don't know how they've had a consistent bullpen the last 3 years. I mean, you'd think there'd be a guy like Greg Holland, you'd think he'd be running on fumes with the usage of the last couple of years, but, you know, he looks as strong as ever. Wade Davis is the perfect example of, you just don't know who's going to step up in a relief role. There's a failed starter who becomes, I mean, has one of the greatest relief seasons in history. I mean, nobody picked that. So, yeah, bullpens are strange, and I think just in general, the game has really gravitated. There's just so much more velocity in the game, and it's something that's really harped on at a young age now, unfortunately. And you're just seeing more and more organizations just stacked with these arms, and in some cases they don't know what to do with them. And the bullpen's kind of a last ditch effort to make something of them, and you see them rise up. And Finnegan is drafted a few months ago, and now he's as integral a piece of that Royals bullpen as any. So it's crazy. I think bullpens have always been the most volatile and most unpredictable part of baseball, but you know, more than ever, they're most essential part of baseball now. It's really changing. I think it could change offensive mentalities. You know, look at these Royals and Orioles teams make the LCS with low walk rates. You know, they're among the lowest walk rates in baseball this season. They hack away, and you know, for a long time there, the thing hitting coaches would preach was, you know, work up the starting pitcher's pitch count, get to the bullpen. Well, now who the hell wants to get to the bullpen?
right.
Want to avoid the bullpen. So there's something to be said for hacking away, especially when, you know, every pitcher is trying to establish his fastball or trying to establish first pitch strikes, and then, you know, you're going to go up there with the take mentality. It doesn't make any sense. You want to, you know, maybe hack away. So I kind of see it, you know, drifting that direction a little bit. And, you know, I think October just kind of hammers that point home of, you know, you want to avoid getting those late inning matchup situations.
Yeah, I love it. It's like the game is responding to itself. Like,
yeah,
you know, you people fought against that. Break down the starting pitcher. Okay, it's fine. We'll find 20-year-olds that throw 100, and their arms will be dead in like a year and a half. But while we have them, we'll absolutely destroy them. And you see guys, yeah, like Finnegan, like Hunter Strickland, except he can't get anybody out. But regardless of that, like guys that can throw like 100 miles an hour and just like go, just like you don't even have command, just go crazy and throw it. And it's funny. I wonder if it's just dumb to put money in. And the thing is, the best bullpens seem to be almost by definition cheap ones, because those guys are younger. Yep. Those guys are throwing like crazy. Like the actual act of trying to build a bullpen seems to be what has destroyed a lot of bullpens.
Oh, absolutely. you're spinning your wheels in the last thing. I look at the Dodgers, how much money they spend on these setup, man. I mean, crazy. It's absolutely nuts. So yeah, there's definitely a lesson to be learned there. And you know, I don't think it goes as far as saying, you know, closers fall off trees and that sort of thing that people sometimes rely on, because there's a process to it, and identifying which guys might be, you know, best suited for that role, you know, mentally and stuff wise. But yeah, I mean, you should be able to build a bullpen on the cheap. That should be something you're able to do, whether it be your farm system or just, you know, 6-year minor league free agents, or you should be able to find guys who, you know, have it in them to give you, you know, quality innings. You're not asking a great deal in the grand scheme of these guys over the course of the year. So, but yeah, maybe the Dodgers are the death of the spend a tremendous amount of money to quote unquote build a bullpen.
One of my secret shames as a baseball fan and as a occasional typist around the game, Is I've never been to Kauffman Stadium. I've never been. I'm from the Midwest. Like, I'm from the Midwest. I grew up not that far from there, and I've just never been there. It just has not actually happened. So if they go to the World Series, I will be there. You, I've obviously been there. I'm assuming today is not the first time you've ever been to Kauffman Stadium, but I'm curious. From as many times as you've been there and seen the vibe there, can you imagine what it's going to be like? For them to be whether they clinch at home or whether they clinch at all, what it's going to be like for that fan base, assuming it stops freaking raining at some point, that to be potential, what it's going to be like on a Thursday night or a Wednesday night when if they win that night, they're going to the World Series.
I can't imagine because last round I covered the Orioles and Tigers, so I have not seen an October, a playoff game here yet. Obviously on TV I have, and the crowds have been unbelievable. I mean, the Royals guys talk about how they're on their feet for every pitch and just going nuts, and it's kind of what you expected, anticipated, even going into this year. We talked about how great it would be to see playoff baseball in Kansas City, and going back to the All-Star game a couple years ago, that was a special moment for this city. But yeah, to see it finally come to life was great. I've covered so many just brutal, why are we even here baseball games here in the past in September, covering the Indians for a long time, and there are many seasons where both teams are out of it in September, and you're just like, what am I doing with my life covering this weekend in Kansas City? But so yeah, it's just a great ballpark. It's out in the middle of nowhere with the Chiefs Stadium, obviously, and but it's just a special place. It's so strange because for the era it was built in, when so many teams were going with those cookie cutter stadiums, the fact that it has so much character, and character one and two is held up so well. They obviously did a tremendous amount of renovations a few years back, and those were necessary. But it was one of my favorite ballparks before they even did that. And the renovations, in some sense, they took out some of the fountains, so that was disappointing. But the fountains are great, and the vibe is still great there. The ballpark's just a beautiful place, and it's finally gonna have some people in it. Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I really am.
All right, just a couple more things before I let you go and make you do some trivia. On this Royals series, if you've got me so freaked out about the rain now, like honestly, you've like ruined my day. So, I just can't. There's 2 days where we didn't have baseball were bad enough. Now that I'm excited about one, and there might not be one. But just from a series perspective, is there a team that could use a day off more? Theoretically, like, is there a team that could benefit right now? Use more rest pitching wise, or does it matter?
I don't know that it matters a great deal. I mean, I'm sure the Orioles would like, I mean, getting Tillman, he hasn't pitched very well for them in October, frankly, but I think there might be some benefit to getting him, back in the mix here sooner. You could say the same, I guess, with the Royals with Shields, but he obviously hasn't performed well at all. I don't know. I'm not sure there is. I think. For both clubs, they have leaned on their bullpen so heavily, the Orioles especially. So maybe it would benefit them just get those guys some rest.
And if this game is played tonight, it's Chin against Guthrie. Chin had a difficult first postseason start. Guthrie hasn't pitched yet in the postseason. Is there? I mean, obviously, it's not a must-win for the Orioles because they'll get to play tomorrow, even if they lose. Up for the Orioles, but they get to play tomorrow if they lose. But certainly, it's vital. Is there a guy that? Which one of those guys do you think has more to show in that game?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to point out how strange it is that, yeah, these are your game three starters in
Right,
the
right,
LCS. I think it
right.
gets back to our point
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
about, great rotations
Yeah.
kind of devalued.
These are guys.
Yeah.
These are guys just out holding. They should just introduce these guys as the. Eh, these guys will be here for a while until the bullpen guy shows up.
Yeah, right. Here's, get ready for these guys for 4 or 5 innings, and then the game starts. But I go a long way back with Guthrie. I think he's actually still mad at me for something I wrote way back in 2006. He was this, a huge prospect for the Indians, got a big league contract, 4-year contract when he was drafted, and going into 2006, I wrote something about how it was unlikely they'd pick up the option year on that contract, and they ended up designating him for assignment the following January. But he didn't like me very much for that,
Oh
and
yeah,
turned out to be correct. And
that
now
was
here he
totally
is. I
your
give him all the
fault.
credit in the world for getting to this point. Really rebuilt his career in Baltimore, and he's kind of a durable, valuable back end starter. But yeah, here he is starting Game 3 of the American League Championship Series. I think he's a great story. Chen obviously struggled first time out in the Tigers, but he was league average this season basically, which is there's value to that. There's nothing wrong with being average in this environment with pitching being so prominent. So yeah, I don't know which guy has more riding on it personally, but obviously the Orioles, yeah, I would call this a must win for them because you go down 0-3, that's pretty much it.
All right, and then I know you've been traveling and covering the ALCS, but obviously you've probably looked at a little bit of the NLCS. That is lining up to be one of those series that just feels like it's going seven. Like it's just kind of got that vibe already a little bit. But of course, that may be that said, if Yadier Molina's out and Adam Wainwright is struggling. Maybe not, because the Giants look a lot stronger in that way. You've covered those teams before. Is there anything that jumps out about those this particular incarnations of those teams or kind of what you've seen from the series so far?
Well, I think the Cardinals are another illustration of how little the regular season predicts how the postseason will go because they've shown as much power as anybody and they had so little of it during the year, kind of like the Royals in that sense. I saw what you wrote for Sports on Earth about losing Yadi. It's not necessarily a death blow. I agree with that. Especially this version of Yadi Molina. He wasn't as hugely impactful this season as he has been in years past, and. I'm frankly surprised both of these teams are at this point. I wouldn't have been surprised about the Cardinals going into the year, but just the way that their season kind of played out, they had their offensive struggles. The Giants can go really quiet offensively at times, and you looked at their pitching staff going into October, and you really had a lot of concerns beyond Bumgarner. But maybe he might be the biggest separator in October right now because of what we talked about earlier. He's the only ace who has truly stepped up on this stage. So, he can be a difference maker in this series.
All right. Well, I am excited. I ref you are. I'm going to call you a better baseball reporter than a meteorologist. I think you're full of it. And of course, I'm not there and have no idea. I just refuse to believe this game's going to get rained out because I could use some baseball tonight. I could use a base some relaxing baseball, which is to say, a game where my team isn't playing, so I can actually just relax and enjoy it.
Right.
But hopefully, we'll get a game in tonight, and hopefully, we'll be able to read your stuff afterwards. But thank you for joining me. This will be really fun, and I'll see you at the World Series.
Sounds good, Will. I
Okay.
appreciate it.
Okay, so hang in with me. I'll give you a goodbyes here, and then we'll pretend that we're reconvening in 2 days to do trivia, but
Oh,
actually
okay.
we'll be doing it right afterwards.
Okay.
Anyway, so today's guest has been Anthony Kastrovitz, columnist for MLB.com. You can see his work on MLB.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Kastrovince. This has been the Will Leach Experience podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. Come back tomorrow or Wednesday, I'm not sure which, for trivia with Anthony, which we're going to do right now. Otherwise, enjoy the games, everyone.